We are in the octave of Christmas, liturgically. In the culture, we're in these unique days between Christmas and New Year's Day, which, I say, they're unique, they have a special character to them, unlike any other time of the year. There's something kind of laid back about this time of the year. There was a great energy, a great excitement about the coming of Christmas. There was a lot to prepare for, and there were a lot of activities. And after Christmas, there's a kind of relaxation time, or maybe recovery time. It's still vacation for a lot of people. Schools are out. Well, today is a work day for those who go to work, but tomorrow's another holiday because of Rizal Day. The next day is New Year's Eve. I don't know if that's a holiday or not, but if it isn't, people are still going to treat it like a holiday. And then the next day is a holiday because it's New Year's Day. So there's a kind of, I say, low-key character to this week and these days of Christmas, really. I know among priests it's a time to recover from the intensity of the Semana di Novena, and parish staff too. I mean, it's been a very busy time. So a bit of relaxation. One of the strange things about this time of year is that it's hard to know what day it is. You can't quite get a feel for whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, or I don't know what. Yesterday was Saturday, Sunday, today's really Monday. So, but there's something significant about that, if we could ponder it a bit, because when we're talking about little children, newborn babies, they don't know what day it is, and it doesn't even matter. You could hear a little one now. they don't think like that. And even when, in regard to children, we don't say, you know, what day is it for the child? We say, well, how old is the child? Meaning, how many days, how many weeks, how many months? This is the fifth day of the octave, so Jesus is 5 days old. We wouldn't say it's Monday. And the fifth day of the child's life, doesn't matter what day it is. And December 29, which is the fifth day of the octave, it could fall on any day of the week. Now, we don't, in the liturgy, observe every single day of the life of Jesus. We focus on the highlights, those that are captured in the scriptures. So today's gospel takes us to the 40th day of Jesus' life, the day when he's brought to Jerusalem to be presented in the temple. This is one of the highlights, the presentation in the temple, and we will be reflecting on it today and tomorrow, this 40th day event. It's a very rich moment. It's one of the joyful mysteries, right? Fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary. And there's just a lot to it. There's the fulfillment of the law, there's Jesus' first entry to the temple, there's this encounter with the holy man, Simeon, then there's this encounter with Anna, the prophetess, there's the prophetic words of Simeon to Mary, some of which are captured here on this inscription behind me, about the thoughts of many hearts being revealed. We have that the love of Christ in hearts may be revealed. It's partly based on this gospel. Anyway, there's a lot to it. One of the things that struck me as I was reflecting on it is the encounter of a newborn child, 40 days old, and an old man. So the two ends of the human's lifespan, you know, from birth to death. Jesus is just born. Well, 40 days old is actually a lot older than 5 days. Children grow very fast, as you can tell. From a 40-day-old child is much bigger than a newborn. It's amazing. Anyway, but Jesus is still at the very beginning of his life, and Simeon is at the end of his life. We don't know how old he is, but because Anna is 84, we usually figure that Simeon is also somehow in his 80s, and he's looking forward to dying now because he has seen the Messiah as was promised to him. So this encounter between the newborn and the old man in the pre-departure area is quite striking. It gives us an idea of the human lifespan and how God has entered into the human experience, the whole range of human experience. Yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Family, which is also a celebration of the human experience, because we're all born into a family, we belong to families, we belong to the human family, and so did Jesus. God as part of a family, that was the center of yesterday's reflection. But God entered into the human family, which is in difficulty, struggle, burdened by sin, conflict. The gospel that we pondered yesterday on the Feast of the Holy Family was not simply a beautiful picture of domestic tranquility. People sitting around the breakfast table with fresh coffee. No, it was flight into Egypt. It was threat against the life of the child. Joseph gets up in the middle of the night and takes his family off into exile, refugees. It was a kind of a stark gospel in which even God made flesh is threatened from his childhood. That's the human condition. That's what God has taken on, this world full of conflict, joys and sorrows. Yesterday was also December 28, which is in the calendar the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We didn't celebrate that feast liturgically, but we know that it's part of the story of Jesus' infancy. Jesus survives, but the other baby boys of Bethlehem do not. Very, very disturbing reality of the death of children, the killing, the murder, the massacre of children. I couldn't help but think of my experience yesterday. I was invited to go bless the body of a newborn. She died on the day of her birth. So she was born on December 22nd, she died on December 22nd. It's always a shock. It's always a disturbing thing to see a dead baby. There she is in the little coffin. I think maybe the undertaker put a little bit of makeup or something. She had very rosy red cheeks. It'd be a cute little child, full term, fully developed, beautiful child. If you didn't know she was dead, you'd say, oh, she's sleeping here, and you'd say, oh, cute. You'd say, oh, you'd say, cute, cute. You make little cooing sounds. It's a cute little baby. But she was dead. So you don't have any of that reaction. You have this kind of stunned bewilderment. So I was there to bless the body because she was being buried yesterday. So she born on December 22nd, the family grieving through the Christmas days, and then on the Feast of the Holy Family, she'd been buried. The parents were there, of course, very young, and the teenagers, first child of the mother, and they're just standing there like, I think bewildered. I don't know if grief was even the term. It's just like, what is this? What is this? Why did God give us this child and then take the child away? Not even baptized, just born and died. And the other members of the family were there. Of course, it was a family affair, but everyone was kind of muted. They didn't know the girl. I mean, never even heard her voice. And I didn't really meet her, don't know her personality, but she's born and then she died. And so, yeah, the titas were there, some other relatives. One woman who I recognized was she's the great-grandmother, actually, because the parents are very young, teenagers, so the grandparents are also pretty young, maybe 40. I met the grandfather, the father's father. He looks like he may be 40. Anyway, so there's the great-grandmother, probably younger than me, sitting there, and she's seen, you know, like any great-grandmother, has seen a lot more of the difficulties of life than young people have. But there's something very disturbing about this sort of reality. And you say, well, and I'm the priest. I'm supposed to come there and bring the message of faith and consolation to a situation that seems to have no real answer. Well, and even in the official prayer books, when you're praying for at a funeral of an unbaptized child, the prayers are very short. And if it's a baptized child, there's such confidence in the church and celebration, this child went straight to heaven. But with an unbaptized child, there's this kind of respect for the mystery and an entrustment to the mercy of God, but without saying very much. But in fact, that stark experience is also part of the Christmas story. Just like the slaughter of the innocent babies of Bethlehem is part of the Christmas story. Death is part of the Christmas story. Or not just death, but the answer to death. The response of God to the problem of death. And the response of God to the problem of death is Jesus himself, 5 days old, or 40 days old, or 33 years old. Jesus came into the world to take on this very problem. He doesn't give us answers to why these things happen. Why did God give a beautiful little girl to this young girl, the mother, teenage mother? Why did he give this girl a little girl? And why did he take her away? We don't know that. But we do know that God is Lord of life and he wants us to have eternal life. He came himself into the death-riddled earth world, the human family under the curse of death, and brought life. And that's really important to keep reflecting on. This is what Simeon declares, right? Simeon is old. He sees this infant, the Word who can't speak. The fathers of the church love to talk about the Word who can't even speak a word. Here he sees this infant who, to anyone else's eyes, would just be another baby. And he sees in him the fulfillment of God's promises. Not only God's promise to him, to Simeon, you will see the Messiah before you die, but the promise, the fulfillment of the promises of God for a Savior. That's why the canticle of Simeon is so beautiful, so profound. It's short, but it's beautiful. And the church prays this canticle every night in the night prayer. You pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you know this canticle. This is Simeon looking at this baby, poor baby, first child of a young mother. Maybe, we don't know the age of Mary when she gave birth, but maybe not much different than this young teenager I saw yesterday. Anyway, here's Simeon's words. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Simeon's at peace. Some people say, how can you be at peace when you know you're going to die? Because there's an answer to death. Simeon is not afraid to die. He's ready to die. He's at peace about death. Why? My own eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of every people. I have seen with my own eyes salvation. Yes, I see a baby, but this is no ordinary baby. This is the salvation of the world. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Octave of Christmas, our focus is on this baby, salvation, which you prepared in the sight of every people, not just for the Jews, not just for the people of Israel, for every nation, a light to reveal you to the nations, light shining in the darkness, and the glory of your people Israel. This is the reason why God chose the people of Israel, to bring into the world this Savior for all peoples. Israel is the chosen people, chosen for this reason. The glory of Israel is Jesus. So this light, this is also mentioned in the first reading, where the first letter of John talks about light. You know, the new commandment is available to us, this commandment of love, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light that hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light. John is going to reflect on darkness and light a lot. But it's because of this experience that Simeon also has. In the presence of Jesus, Savior of the world, whether he's 5 days old or 40 days old or however age, in the presence of Jesus, we're in the presence of light that scatters darkness. We're in the presence of life that overcomes death. And that is a reason for rejoicing. Simeon rejoices. Simeon is a realist, like all older people. Older people who've suffered something, they know that even on the best days, there's going to be difficulty. Simeon knows that this child is going to be the cause of the fall and the rise of many. He's going to be the dividing line between people falling and people rising. He's going to be the point on which people must make a choice for or against him. He's light, but that doesn't mean that everybody's eyes are open to the light, or that everyone welcomes light. But Jesus is the light. There's no changing that reality. He comes as light in the darkness, but some people prefer darkness, so they reject light, and that's what Simeon knows. And he also knows that the rejection of the light will be a piercing experience for Mary, his mother. Mary, the sorrowful mother, knows the grief that comes when people reject her son. So there's, like I say, there's a lot in this encounter at the presentation. We won't go into any more, but I want to point out that this child, this infant, can't even speak, can't even think with his human mind yet. He doesn't even know what day it is yet. Is the light of the world. And because of him, we can persevere with hope, even if a child dies on her birthday, even if families lose loved ones, even if there's a massacre of innocent children, even if there's a war, even if there's anything else, a catastrophe of any kind, our hope isn't defeated because, how does John say it? The true light is already shining. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's the joy of this octave. We continue our journey in hope and in joy because of Jesus Christ.